T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
So let's go, Eli.
Take what they give you, play with the middle. You got to convince them to do it. They got to do it. It's not complicated. You know, you can see the big swings coming out of our zone when just a single will do. And that's it. I mean, we did it before. We can do it again. We just got to keep talking. But then you have to use the velvet hammer as opposed to a real one.
The fact that Joe Maddon is talking about using a hammer at all lets you know where things stand with the Cubs as they sit here as a 500 team. Welcome into Hour 2 of the program. Lawrence Holmes here with you until Cubs baseball, which is coming up at 8:35 tonight. And then you'll have the pregame stylings of one Mark Grody, who joins me now on the CarX Tire and Auto Hotline. Ask about their full-service oil changes from $14.99. What's up, Groats?
Lawrence, what's going on, man? It's funny. I'm up here in our radio booth watching the Padres take batting practice right now, and it's funny when it's not absolutely perfect in San Diego. Like, it's really comfortable here. It's 65 degrees, but it's been mostly cloudy the last couple of days, and I've been told by San Diegans that that's the way it is for a while here before the ocean water warms up. So yeah, it's funny. Everybody's sort of like, where's the perfect weather? It's not here yet, but it's fine.
I've been told by Tony that it never rains in Southern California.
Well, that's true. I think they've had, like, what, 2 rainouts in 5 years in San Diego, something like that. But it's been kind of – but I'm totally happy with it. You know, when you do baseball 162 times a year, all you care about is that there's no precipitation. That's all I care about.
Right. You've had to do a lot of tap dancing so far this year, and we're only 50 games in where we've had a lot of rain delay theater and weird games going on with the Cubs already, right. And there's still 112 left to go.
Yeah, and you've been part of that too, Lawrence. I think the last one at Wrigley Field, you were here for the game is what I was told, and then you had to rush back to the studio to actually do your show that you didn't think you were going to have to do that night.
Yeah, pretty crazy stuff. So let's talk about this team and where they stand right now. 25-25. Things were looking really good during the homestand. What happened on the homestand that isn't happening on the road?
Well, you're seeing the Cubs' bats go in a lull once again, a slump, whatever word you want to use, except ironically in the Clayton Kershaw game, the Cubs again against the Padres last night. And it feels like at this point you can't lose to the Padres, and the Cubs did just that last night. But they were 1-for-10 with runners in scoring position. I mean, you had Jason Hayward come through with a big two-out bases loaded hit in the first inning, but beyond that, for the rest of the game, they were 0-for-9 in that capacity. So again, it's the runners in scoring position. Nobody has quite had the answer as to why that has been this year as opposed to last year, where that really wasn't a big problem. And then the other thing too, Lawrence, that I was talking about on the postgame show last night is, in the past, really, 2 years with some guys, when the Cubs had a lead, as they did yesterday, a 2-0 lead, even this year with a guy like Kyle Hendricks on the mound, you felt comfortable. Like, okay, that's all you need with Kyle Hendricks on the mound. With Jake Arrieta going, you feel like, okay, give him a 2 or 3 run lead, and that'll be enough. Whereas this year, that simply has not been the case. There hasn't been the comfort level and the shutdown style starting pitching either to make you feel that comfort. But if I had to say one thing, I mean, I realize I'm going all over the board here, I will continue to say it is about the offense, that they have not enabled starting pitching, that they have not enabled their bullpen, that they have not enabled victories this year in any way, shape, or form.
The cut that we played leading into you is Joe Maddon talking about, you know, guys needing to be okay taking singles and going back up the middle and not trying to yank the ball. I wonder if, because of expectation, if we're seeing guys, and people probably overuse the term press, but knowing what they have been capable of before, if we aren't seeing guys try to hit 5-run homers.
Yeah, I think that is the case, because they were able to accomplish things like that last year. Obviously not 5-run homers, but they, you know, I think that the first month of the season, you could say, or the first few weeks when it's cold and it's dreary and you're just getting up and running and you don't know what's real and what's not and numbers are ridiculous based on two hits on a day or whatever the case may be, that's fine. But I think that this team is built to hit the ball over the wall at the end of the day. Singles are just fine, and they'll take a bunch of, you know, keep the line moving type of victories this year if that's what it is. But let's face it, if you look at all the guys that are on this Cubs team, the ones that were drafted for the most part, designed to hit the ball out of the park, and I feel like that's what they think they're supposed to do. So you do see some over-swinging at times with all of these Cubs players. We've seen it all the time with Javier Baez, where, as I say, he takes the full Javi sometimes, where he swings out of his shoes. But sometimes accept your single, accept going opposite field, which Baez and Addison Russell, for that matter, have been working on. I saw Kyle Schwarber intensely working on opposite field yesterday in batting practice. So I think that maybe they have the, you know, Eric Hinsky and John Mailey, the Cubs hitting coaches, maybe reeled them in a little bit and said, hey, let's just work on better contact right now as opposed to trying to hit the ball over the wall.
The host of our pre- and post-game show for the Cubs, Mark Grody, joining us here on The Score. We talk a little bit about the Cubs. And if you want to jump into the conversation, talk a little bit Cubs with us, 312-644-6767. Watching Kyle Schwarber, one of my mantras this year is he's still an unknown. And that's what I keep saying, and I feel like that there are those in the Cubs organization that have a little bit of a blind spot for him, and I get it. The guy's a postseason legend, and what he did last year was epic and heroic and all of those things. But you are still talking about someone who still hasn't quite completed a full year of Major League Baseball, even with the postseason baseball at this point, and struggled at the tail end of 2015 with some of the same things that we're seeing now, high fastballs, sometimes swinging over some of the changeups that are coming through. How do they plan on trying to get him back to him being an intimidating figure at the plate?
You know, I mean, in part what I was just saying a second ago, to actually watch him take batting practice, say, hey, here's the approach we want to see you take when you're up there in that cage, that we want to see you thinking about opposite field, thinking about hard contact as opposed to hitting those folklore type home runs, as you said correctly, that he did, you know, in the World Series last year didn't hit a home run, but the fact that he was there and was a major part of what they did. And then even in the year previous when he hit the monster home run against Pittsburgh to get the Cubs into the Cardinals series, and then the home runs he hit thereafter. So yeah, I think it's a matter of reminding everybody or realizing again that here's a 23, 24-year-old kid who is still, like a lot of these Cubs players, still trying to figure it out. And I think that part of the love affair that the Cubs do have with him is because when you have that potent of a bat from the left side, I think that it's hard to let down on that, to give up on that in any way, shape, or form. Obviously, Joel Maddon has made it clear that he wants to limit his at-bats going in something of a platoon, maybe not necessarily strictly, but there are some things that they've toned down with him in terms of getting his confidence back up. And, you know, we've talked about this with other young players too, Lawrence. It might be the first time in Kyle Schwarber's life that he's ever had to deal with anything like this. So it's a matter of dealing with it from a confidence standpoint, not wearing it every single day, and trusting yourself and knowing that eventually you will start to hit like everybody thinks you're supposed to hit like.
It's so funny when you said about Hendricks, because I swear yesterday I had one of those moments where I'm sitting there and I'm like, oh, the Cubs got a 2-0 lead. Everything's fine. It's San Diego. They're not that good. It's not like the Dodgers. And then, you know, I think I started playing video games for a couple of innings, and then, oh, you know, you got the at-bat app, and you're seeing, oh, there's a grand slam, and you're sitting there wondering, like, when the Cubs were going to push back in the game, and we haven't seen that from them. You're around these guys every day. You're inside the clubhouse. You're talking with Joe Maddon. I know that we don't pay you to be a psychologist, but what's the vibe that you catch from being down there?
Well, I always look to see if it is going to be different, Lawrence, just from in the clubhouse, even on the bus rides over. and I can never find it. Like, I was thinking, all right, they're 500. You just lost to San Diego after having a lead against San Diego, a Padres team, which is really not that interested in winning ball games at this point. And I don't see any difference. I mean, I'm looking down on the field right now around the batting cage, and they're all just – I see Anthony Rizzo laughing right now. Kyle Schwarber is as well. They're all talking to Matt Caesar, as a matter of fact. So I can never find it, because you kind of, there's a part of you that's human interest that's, all right, maybe you guys are going to be upset now and mad and you're 500. And I think that they know that they're struggling. They know they should be better, but maybe it's the Joe Maddon magic. They simply don't wear it. You would think that these guys were just on a vacation out west with their demeanors, which has been the way this crop of Cubs has been since I started covering this team at the beginning of 2015.
I think that that's where Joe Maddon as a manager has an incredible amount of value, because and I will say that, you know, even in that cut, maybe we hear that he's going to be a little, you talk about the velvet hammer and bringing out the velvet hammer without, you know, bringing out the sledgehammer. But I think that his demeanor is so perfect for a regular season because of how long it is.
Absolutely. And it's also perfect, Lawrence, I think, for young ball club. And he's got the track record, you know, way back to his Anaheim days. And then what he did in Tampa Bay, what he's doing with this Cubs team. Like, it's like when people complain about the lineup and who should be playing and who should not be, and people wanting Al Mora in there, or they want to see more Ian Happ. It's almost like, and I get it, that's totally fine, but there's a part of me that wants to say, he's done this before. He knows how this works. He's not going to get it right every time. He's going to make managerial errors. Not every single player is going to love him to death. That's just the way it goes. Everybody loves the boss. But for the most part, he does have the perfect demeanor. And there's another one. I mean, you asked about, like, the players and how they feel in the clubhouse. You can never get, like the velvet hammer line. That's about as heavy duty as Joe Maddon is going to get in terms of at least publicly showing his discouragement over the team and what it has done. I do know this, that Joe Maddon knows that the team should be better than it is right now, that you have an exactly average baseball team that has a whole lot more potential, and it would be a letdown if it didn't get better than this.
From what they've told you, what's been the biggest issue with the starting pitching in particular?
Well, I think that, you know, holding leads, like there's always that inning right after your team gets the lead. And it seems like the Cubs pitchers took care of business in that frame last year, whereas this year it's been a much more arduous process where it's like you get the lead and then immediately it's given up again. There might be things, too, that we don't know. I mean, is the theory, the philosophy of what they did last year as deep as they went and some potentially tired arms where we saw the velocities go down on Jake Arrieta and Kyle Hendricks. Both were affected by that. I think that that's a real thing, and I know pitchers hate hearing about velocity drops, but I don't think Arrieta's quite figured out how to compensate for that, whereas I think Kyle Hendricks has, and he's still not up to where he was either, but he's starting to look like himself once again. I think that, you know, John Lester had his best start of the year two starts ago when he threw the complete game shutout, and then his worst start, clearly, against the Dodgers the other day. I feel like John Lester's a guy you could trust to figure it out. Kyle Hendricks as well. Lackey is Lackey. I think that Arrieta is the one, you know, that you got to zero in on in terms of you got to get this guy back to being really good if you want to do anything damaging in the regular season or the postseason for that matter. And then the guy that we're watching tonight, I mean, it's an intrigue to see Eddie Butler and if he maybe eventually lives up to the status of a first round pick. You know, he's had a couple of decent starts and one bad start. So just a lot of inconsistency, I think, in the Cubs starting pitching.
Before I let you go, I'll ask you this question that I'm going to ask the listener. When, because I look, you're laid back. You're one of the most laid back dudes I know.
I'm very Cali.
You are very Cali, and you would be perfect inside a Joe Maddon clubhouse because you're just kind of laid back. When will you get uncomfortable with the way things are going this season?
I would say, wow. It's honestly, Lawrence, as laid back as I am, it started to happen. Like I will say this, and I realize the ridiculousness of what I'm about to say. They kind of got to win this game tonight, because to drop under 500, that's just a bad look, I think. You know, when you have to dig out of the hole to get back to 500, let alone to get back to winning. Like, if you have to worry about something else, that's a bad look. So if they dip under 500, you'll start to see me get a little bit more worried and start to think things are a little bit more real. And then I would say on the calendar, towards the end of June, I would say, I'll just give you a date, Lawrence. Let's go June 20th.
That makes sense.
I will be as alarming as I possibly can be starting June 20th.
Well, let's hope for your sake that that is not the case, that you and Coombdog and Pat don't have to be all worried in the booth, because that would be bad. But I appreciate your time. I'll be listening to the pregame show on my ride home. Thanks so much for joining me.
Thanks, Lawrence. Always love coming on, man.
It's Mark Grody. He is just the bee's knees, man. He's a good dude. He's a good man, Jeffrey, and thorough. I'd say that because Herb hates the Big Lebowski. Was watching it the other night. It's still great.
It's not that I hate it. I just hate when people talk about it being good.
It's so good.
I watched it like twice, and I was like, I'm good.
We should watch it together.
I guess so. And also, No Country for Old Men.
What?
Boring as hell.
Dude.
Now everybody hates me again. Yeah, and of course, Brendan hates me.
Well, we haven't even talked about your thoughts on tipping. I mean, that's where people really, like...
I mean, they misconstrue it, but yeah, I got you.
We'll get into a lot of that stuff tomorrow. All right, so I asked Groats a question. Let me ask you the same question. 50 games. That's where the Cubs are at. 50 games. Now, I've had conversations with baseball people that say, look, 60 games... you start to figure out what you need. You spend the next 60 games getting what you need, and then you let them play out the last 42. That you find, use the first 60 to find out what they are, the next 60 to go fix what you need, and then the last 42 you let them play. I'd love to know, is there a point, if things keep kind of going this way, where they're about a 500 team, and the great thing for them is that the division isn't going anywhere, but is there a point for you, if you keep seeing stuff like this, if you keep seeing them be this kind of team, when's the point where you're like, yeah, maybe it's time we need to start really looking at this and being concerned about where the Cubs are at? 312-644-6767 is the number. I look forward to your responses. You can text the show as well. 670-11 is the way that you can do that. I'll even throw it out on Twitter for those of you that tweet. I want to talk specifically about something that I watch for in games. And I want to go back to a conversation that I think Cubs fans need to have and that Cubs management needs to be open to. I'll explain next here on The Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Looking at the standings in the National League Central, Milwaukee, the surprising Brewers, still on top of the division, 27-24. See, this is the good thing about where the Cubs are at, that the division is not going anywhere. Everyone's in it. Every single team is in it. Milwaukee's 27-24. Both the Cubs and the Cardinals are 500. Cubs are 25-25. St. Louis, 24-24. They're beating the Dodgers right now, last time that I checked. Cincinnati, 24-26, and Pittsburgh had the walk-off from McCutchen yesterday. They're 24-28. So the whole division is within 3.5 games of each other. One of the things I ask Grody and I ask you, welcome in, I'm Lawrence Holmes, by the way, here for another hour or so, is if they keep playing like this, when do you start to get concerned? Some people have thrown out some answers on Twitter. At Lawrence W. Holmes is where you can find me there. If you'd like to call in, do it the old school way, 312-644-6767. Jim is out there driving around. Hey, Jim, you're on The Score.
Hi, how are you doing, Lawrence?
I'm doing really well.
Well, I'm concerned now, Lawrence. I mean, last year we were beating good teams. We're sweeping them, right? This year, they're sweeping us. I think the problem is our pitching. And I think we got the last good year out of this pitching staff last year. I think it's, you know, if we can't beat the Yankees, the Dodgers, we drop one to the Padres yesterday. I mean, why does anybody think this pitching staff is going to go anywhere in the playoffs? I don't personally, all right? Now, maybe these guys will all get healthy and get great again, and their pit speeds come up 5 miles an hour. I don't, you know. But I think that I'd like to see us trade Arrieta before the trade deadline for prospects. I'd like to see us bring our young players up. You know, if we have any young pitchers, starting pitchers in the minors, I'd like to see them.
Well, let me ask you this, though, Jim. Who's going to trade for Jake Arrieta?
I don't know. You tell me. I don't know.
Well, I mean,
but he's got to have some value, right?
I don't know. Looking at what he's done this year, that's your problem. That is your problem right now. Look, there have been people who have texted in and tweeted me that said the same thing. Some guy tweeted me, it was like 2 weeks ago. I was concerned. I completely understand that. Yes, Herbie?
60 days, all right? 60 games is the thing.
60 games is usually when teams will look around and go, okay, what are we? What are we and what do we need?
And just like you were saying, Milwaukee's leading. That's, you know.
We don't believe that that's going to continue.
Yeah, that's fool's gold. Yeah, the Cubs are not playing well, but it's not like the Cardinals are up there where you can say, you know what? The Cardinals maybe can run away and hide. You know Milwaukee's going to be there. For when the Cubs get their strength, they're going to just go and do some things. Milwaukee's not a good team. St. Louis is around there. Pittsburgh's bad. And the Reds are the Reds. So,
you don't believe in the Reds?
No. The Reds don't believe in the Reds. No. Why would I believe in the Reds?
I'm just...
Because Scott Schebler? No.
I'm just asking. They seem to at least got some things moving in the right direction.
Suarez. No. I mean, I don't know why Cub fans are so... like anxious about this thing. I think it goes back to that old school when I was when the White Sox won 2005, I was like, man, I'll never be upset again because I got a taste of that World Series championship. But it's worse when you get a taste of that World Series championship because you've been to the pinnacle. You want to go back. Nothing else satisfies that.
And a Snickers does. And the other part is the level of expectation is up, which is something else that I want to get into. After we're done with Shep's scoreboard update, and Eli said there's a piece of sound from Jason Hayward that we need to hear. We'll do that after Shep is done.
Scoreboard update.
Trade Arrieta, trade Schwarber, because, you know, his value is at the lowest it's been, so it makes sense to trade him too right now.
I know that you're big on the Schwarber-Babbitt thing, but dude's having terrible at-bats, Shep.
I understand that.
They found the cheat code on Kyle Schwarber, and it's a high fastball.
It's the same thing on Ian Happ. Is a high fastball. Yeah, That's why he started to get out a bunch of late, too.
It's happening a little bit faster than I thought with Ian Happ.
It's not really. I mean, that's normal progression for a guy that's making his first run across the big leagues. Like, if you're not expecting him to be, like, megastar, I know some people are. I think he's kind of, that's a normal track. You start to see reports start to go out a little bit, and you figure out, okay, yeah.
People haven't thrown
him high and fast, and...
Is that all
now
that
he has the, to adjust
the info that you threw at me for Schwarber? I would suggest to you that you go look at his last 117 at bats of 2015.
Oh, they're bad. Like, he struggled. That's what I didn't understand about 2015 is that he was awful the last month, really. Remember Castro came on?
Yep.
Castro played out of his mind offensively, at least, and Schwarber fell off, and then Schwarber out of, like, it felt like nowhere. Because you didn't know what you're going to get. Okay, Schwarber's out there. And he tore up the postseason. Even that Mets series, he tore up offensively. So that was a weird debut run for him to me.
I just think that there's more of him being bad than good at this point. And the sample size is very small, but there's more of the bad.
And this
stretch that he's in now, wow. His at-bats, wow. Wow! Sorry, Shep, you were saying.
I don't know. I think he had that 4-strikeout game the other day on getaway day. He looked lost against Samardzija. That's as bad as I think he has looked.
When I saw him trying to drop one down three runs yesterday, I was sitting there going, ooh wee. This is a guy that's lost.
He worked his way to a walk that at bat, though.
I understand, but...
Right. So he got on base.
He did get on base, but his whole mentality in the at bat was... whatever it takes here, I'm going to bunt.
Well, yeah, that's also problematic. But
they don't pay you for that, young man. They pay you to hit moonshots.
I get that, but I'm not bothered when Anthony Rizzo or Kyle Schwarber or whoever, I don't get upset when they lay down a bunt.
Neither.
Like, when you have the rest of that lineup, and trust me, I know the whole line, not outside of Bryant, outside of Rizzo, who's come on, like, that lineup hasn't done what it's supposed to do.
I'm not saying that it's a bad idea. I just think, considering that he's hitting 170, it was an odd time in the game for him to try that.
I think if you're hitting 170 and you see an opening of a possibility to get on base, you take it, don't
yep.
you? Like, isn't that, like, when, if you were struggling when you were playing, wasn't that kind of your approach? Was like, I know I'm in a funk. I know I'm not doing something right. Whatever it is, ain't ticking. Like, they're giving me this, and I know I'm capable of it.
It just says to me that the problem may be a little bit worse than what the Cubs have let on.
Yeah, well, I think they're never going to say that, but the way they've acted, and it's turned into a platoon.
Because he's not a leadoff hitter anymore, and he doesn't play against lefties.
Correct. Like, it's turned into a platoon. Well, first it was move down in order. Then it's doesn't play against lefties. Like, they're never going to come out and say that. From all the positives they've said about him, they're not going to come out and be like, yep, this has been a disaster, which it has been. But I think that the actions there kind of tell you what they're thinking.
White Sox and Boston are scoreless. The Dodgers now lead the Cardinals 4-3. Tiger Woods blew a 0.0 on the breathalyzer. What else is in the news?
The Cardinals leading the Dodgers.
I just said that. I literally just said that.
Well, I was trying to fly through the scoreboard, and I couldn't exactly see what... I didn't hear everything you said.
Game 2 of the Stanley Cup Final
will
be on Wednesday, which I believe is game 1 of the NBA Finals.
Thursday,
is that Thursday? June 1st? We all had to wait a week.
Don't look up on your monitor.
I'm watching. All right, so read the sponsor and we can be done.
The scoreboard update brought to you by New Mail Medical Center. Discover the new you, newmailmedical.com. I'm Nick Schapkowski. You're listening to the radio home of the Chicago Cubs, the world champion Chicago Cubs. Next Cubs game on the score tonight, 8:35. Cubs take on the Padres, 6:70 the score, Chicago Sports Station.
This scoreboard update was brought to you by Metra. Give your brakes a break, your radiator a rest, and your dipstick a day off. Every time you ride Metra, you avoid wear and tear on your car and on your nerves too. Find a ride you feel good about now at metrorail.com.
Shep, thank you for the conversation and the scoreboard update. But wait, I did the scoreboard update, so thanks to me. Talking a little bit of Cubs with you on when is the point where you start to get concerned. If things continue progressing the way that they are, some people want to jump in on a lot of different topics. 312-644-6767. Hey, Bob, you're on the score.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
I am just calling you. You went to home with Flossmore, right?
I did.
All right. I played in 1980-81 with Bloom Trail.
You're a lot older than I am.
I know I am. And the thing is, it's just...
Hold on. Are you about to relate your high school baseball experience with the Cubs?
No, I'm not. There were some great players I played with. Steve Stanisak, Curry Butch.
You are literally about to make some sort of comparison between what you did in high school and Major League Baseball.
No. What I'm trying to say is, like, a guy like Kyle Schwarber, just let him have his time. He's going to play great. I mean, he's going to be unbelievable.
Why do you feel that way?
Because he's got an unbelievable pure swing. He's kind of like Mark Grace. He got that swing, and he's got that power.
What's not happening right now, Bob?
He's nervous. He's getting switched around. Just put him at, I would say that you put him at number two, and leave him there.
Well, that's where he's been hitting in the last couple of weeks, is at two. Now they secretly moved him out of the leadoff spot.
Well, he should never have been a leadoff hitter.
Why not?
Because he's just not that. He's a power hitter.
Why can't a power hitter hit leadoff?
It's just not meant for him.
Why not?
Because you need guys in front of you, and that's what he needs. He needs guys on base in front of him.
The idea is that he would come up with guys in front of him from the bottom of the order. That's why Madden would always, like, bat the pitcher eighth.
Well, let me ask you a question. If you're the number three hitter or number two or number five hitter, and look at their batting order, You got guys on base, and how did he do in the World Series and the playoffs?
That's a really small sample size.
I understand that.
The larger sample size is what he is in the regular season. And in the regular season, it's still not 162 games that he's played. But in the sample of what he's done in the regular season, this is about what he is.
I wouldn't say that. I just say he's been put in the wrong spot. Put him in the right spot. He's going to be excited about batting.
You think that Kyle Schwarber is not excited about batting?
Well, how do I put this the right way? I would say he is more excited when men are on base.
Right, and again, the whole concept behind it, there's only one time in the game where he's leading off. That's the likelihood is that you have him at the coming up in a situation where your bottom of the order has gotten on, so that was the theory behind it. It's not a crazy theory. Look at what Charlie Blackman is doing for Colorado. Wait, I didn't say it right. Charlie Blackman. Look at what he's done this year. He's not your prototypical leadoff hitter. He's a career 349 on base. And this year, he's 364 on base. He's hitting 329. He's a 989 player. He's already driven in 46 runs. Charlie Blackman. He is on pace to have a career year hitting in the leadoff spot for the Rockies. It's not what he does. And now look at him. We'll take a break. I see some people want to jump in and discuss this. Lawrence Holmes here with you until Cubs baseball. Layla Rahimi will join me in studio in the 8 o'clock before we go to it. So your phone calls are coming up next here on The Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Cubs baseball is coming up in about 45 minutes. We get to hang out until then. Layla Rahimi of CSN going to join us in a little bit. We'll hang out with her, get her baseball information. She apparently wants to talk with Herbie about something. Y'all be talking in the movies or something? Is that what you guys are talking about?
No, she had tweeted something about a guy who sued his date for their $17 that he spent on the movie.
Sued his date?
Yeah. Because she was texting all throughout the movie. I was like, it's petty of him to sue the date $17 because, that's cash. That's a time spent, whatever.
It costs you more to park at the courthouse.
Exactly. But I was mad. I was like, you know what? The guy has some beef about, texting throughout the movie. And she was like, Herb, that's not the point. The $17 is the point. And I kind of get her point. Yeah, that is the point. But I would be mad at anybody who's texting throughout the movie because it's all dark. And when you see that light, your eyes automatically are drawn to the light when it's that dark.
I agree. It apparently is Yucatan time over on the south side. I'm telling you.
Dinner in a movie?
I'm telling you. He's getting there. Every start, I'm getting more and more like, man, they should have traded. This segment being brought to you by UPSJobs.com. UPS is seeking part-time package handlers in Addison and Palatine. Receive competitive pay and graduate debt-free with up to $25,000 towards education. Apparently, I need the education assistance that can be provided at UPSJobs.com. Let's go out to Pete, who's in Peoria. Hey, Pete, you're on The Score.
How you doing? Thanks for letting me on. I had to pull over the road and add my 2 cents. I can't be the only guy, only Cub fan that can see the emperor has no clothes on. I want to thank Cub management and Joe Madden and that entire team, first of all, for the greatest, fabulous season Cub fans have ever seen. And then the Cub management group got cheap. Now, they bought the team.
What? What do you mean they got cheap?
They got cheap. Let me explain. They bought the team at $980 million. It's now appraised at $2.2 billion, yet they let four key guys walk away from the Cubs. Dexter Fowler, the leadoff man, who, when he left, I was concerned, but I started thinking about it. Dexter Fowler loves the Cubs, and the Cubs love to play with him. He showed no fear in big games, and he showed no fear against big pitchers.
Do you know Dexter Fowler right now is hitting .222 and has been moved out of the leadoff spot?
That's because he's not with the Cubs.
All right, that's enough of that. That's enough. Manuka and Paul. Hey, Paul, you're on the Score.
Yeah, how you doing, guys?
Good.
I'm a huge Cubs fan, and I am very nervous right now. And if you're a big Cubs fan, I can't see how anybody's not nervous about what's going on right now. Last year and the year before we won the World Series, we had all these close games where our offense went into a funk, and our pitching took care of us and kept us in it. But all these innings, all these close games, we led the league in quality starts, everything. Right now, our starting pitching is so bad that we can't get out of it. And I'm truly beginning to think that there's some other things that are going on that we don't know about that are going to come out soon.
Like?
And I think it's going to make things even worse.
Like?
I think Arrieta, as an example, I think he's got a potential hidden injury. And the reason why I say that is with all these innings he's pitched over the last couple of years, he's over 400 innings, plus he's lost 3 to 4 or 5 miles an hour on his velocity. He doesn't seem to be hitting his spot.
Well, maybe it's not injury, Paul. Maybe it's wear. And Miguel Montero actually brought this up a few weeks ago, that perhaps you're looking at a period of dead arm because of the innings jump that he took from the moment he joined the Cubs organization from Baltimore. I don't think that that's crazy. I don't know if I want to flat out say it's an injury, put that in quotes, but I do subscribe to the idea of pitchers who make big innings jumps sometimes don't have the same juice in their arm. And there will be some people who tell you that Jake's career, the outlier, has been his Cubs career versus what he was before. This segment being brought to you by the Knee and Back Pain Helpline. Learn how an insurance card, let me try this again. Eli, I can't read today. It's not even on there. I don't even know why I said that word. This segment is being brought to you by the Knee and Back Pain Helpline. Learn how an insurance-covered comfortable knee or back brace can reduce your pain. Call 800-888-KNEE. That's 800-888-KNEE. Oaklawn and Bob. Hey, Bob, you're on the Score.
Hey, great show, Lawrence. You know, the Kyle Schwarber thing, I think, is kind of, you know, you've been talking about small sample sizes, and whether it be the small sample size of him being great in the playoffs and in the World Series, or, you know, the smaller sample size of him not playing a full regular season. You know, I mean, I think you can look at both of those things. But I think the one thing, and I was telling your producer, is I think the one thing that's kind of held against Kyle Schwarber, and I feel like a lot of people are kind of jumping on the, you know, not necessarily bash Schwarber, but hey, he's not Babe effing Ruth. And that's what Theo Epstein said, and we're going to kind of pile on him now. And you've said it. It's a small sample size. So I guess I would trust Theo Epstein's judgment over yours or the guy that called to play the Blue Trail earlier. So I just don't see the necessary part of jumping on a 24-year-old who has, like you said, played less than a year.
But who's jumping on him? Like, I'm not jumping. I'm not jumping on him.
Kind of digging in and kind of, oh, you know, look at the sample size, and you know, and now those holes are bad.
Yeah, but I'm using those arguments both in his favor and against him. So how am I jumping on him?
But Shepskowski's talking about BABIP, and you're, oh no, I saw the FS, they were horrible. He says, oh no, he walked.
Were they not horrible?
They have been. Some of them have been.
So Bob, here, explain this to me. Why is it that I can't call out something that we all see? Why can't I do that?
I just feel like you're kind of piling on a guy who's 24, and you said it yourself. It's a very small sample.
Okay, but see, here's where your argument to me kind of falls apart. If I'm telling you that Kyle Schwarber is an unknown, that still means that he could end up being the player that Theo Epstein says he is going to be. So how is that me piling on him?
I don't. You're necessarily saying he's an unknown. I mean,
he is an unknown.
How many home runs in the postseason?
Again, small sample size.
Right. So, and again, he's 24 years old.
Right. So, yeah, exactly.
He's
So this idea that we know what he is, to me, is silly.
Right. But that's my point, though, is, but you're to me, it sounds like you're saying unproven, but it's more you figured out what he is.
No, I have not figured out what he is. That's what the term unknown means, Bob.
Right. And I would say, again, and I'll leave it on this, I trust Theo Epstein before I trust Juan Pong.
But see, what a punk move by you. What a punk move by you, Bob. Not unexpected that you don't understand the nuance of the conversation that I'm having. When it comes to Kyle Schwarber, believe what you want. And you should believe Theo Epstein's baseball acumen over mine. The point that I've made and will continue to make is that because Schwarber is an unknown, we shouldn't just accept when our eyes are telling us differently that things are going better than they are. Partially because, quite honestly, teams change their minds. And you know how I know? Because the Cubs did it over the last couple weeks. What did you hear from the Cubs when people were complaining about Kyle Schwarber hitting leadoff? By the way, I'm not one of those people who complain. I actually think that it makes a lot of sense for him to bat leadoff because it was explained really well by Joe Maddon and Theo Epstein and Jed Hoyer. What did they say? Oh, everything's fine. And then what happened like almost immediately after that? They moved him down to number two. And they stopped hitting him against lefties. What I'm saying is that you have no proof. Show me the proof. I think that it's more likely that Schwarber's going to be fine than he's going to be this. But this blind faith and this kind of homerism that you're showing, to me, is ridiculous. If you can't, I don't understand people who can't have a legitimate sports conversation. Everyone has to go into your tribe. It's weak. It's a punk move by you, Bob. Punk move. Back after this on The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.